Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. What a mighty God. What a precious God. What a wonderful Savior. Amen. Aren't you thankful to be blood-bought here tonight? Just few of you are. Amen. Thankful for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. But not just his saving grace, his keeping grace. Amen. I have wrestled since leaving last night on tonight, understanding the importance of a revival weekend, understanding the importance of, a friend of mine calls it moving the needle. And no time to waste, no time to spare. Kingdom of God requires haste, even more today than ever. And so, if it were to my choosing, we would go a completely different direction here tonight. But I feel so led of the Holy Ghost. So let's just do what he wants. Is that all right? How many believes we're an apostolic church? Do you really believe you're an apostolic people? How many believe you've been saved by grace? Glory. Glory. What a wonderful privilege it is to be here. And so enjoyed the reception that I felt from this pulpit last night. And to make and continue the acquaintance of Brother and Sister McCoy. And familiar faces, familiar people. One of my other lifelong friends, Marty, is here. His precious wife, her and her dad and my dad go back before Noah entered the ark. And it's just good to be with them. It's good to be Brother Sister Long Senior, and just some wonderful people. People of God. Amen. Hate the devil. You're going to find out just how much I hate him by 15 minutes. You're going to find out. Amen. I'm not afraid of him. I said that one time in a dear saint. Thank God for elders, but they come up to me and chastened me and told me, you need to be careful. You'll make him mad and he'll come into your room and try to kill you. And I said, well, not before 11 o'clock. You can have your opinion on the devil's power. I have mine. Jesus said, all power. You might as well get going right here. Jesus said, all power in heaven and in earth belongs to me. Now, if he has all power, that means the devil has. What in the world are you running from? Amen. A while back, the Lord began to deal with me, and I'm an old soul, I guess. I still listen to the Magruders. And found out that Brother Long has some projects that I don't have. We're working on that solution. But I'm just not convinced that the kind of church we're having is truly the kind of church we are. I think there's a high water mark that the book of Acts led us to. And I think that we're living just a little bit beneath where we're supposed to be. I read verses like, in my name shall you cast out devils. And I look around and preach all over the world and find people of God running from devils. I'm just going to be me tonight. I don't get that equation. I don't get to where we're supposed to have all power, and yet we have no power. And we come in with posture that is not correct. Paul told the church of Galatians, he said, you are under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And then you're sons. And if you are sons, then you're joint heirs. So if we really believe that we have been delivered, saved by grace, brought from this world, introduced into the life of Christ, if you really believe the God of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Not here to debate, just it's a fact. None like him, none before him, none beside him, none but him. He is the all in all. And if Jesus is God made flesh, Matthew said he was Emmanuel. He was God with us. And his name is Jesus. So let me try to put two and two together. So if the God of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament, then there's no difference between the Jesus of the New and the God of the Old. Am I right so far? So if that's correct and it, if that's correct and it is, Colossians says it is Christ in you. So let me get this right. God made flesh. Then he turned to his disciples and said, I'm going to go. And they said, oh, no, you can't go. Man, we're having some fun with you. You got to stay here. The tricks are cool when you're here. And he said, calm down. For where I have been with you, I'm going to come back and be in you. Nothing changes except I'm never going to leave you from now on. So if the God of the old is the Jesus of the new and the Jesus of the new is in you, that means all power in heaven and earth is supposed to be in an apostolic church. Come on, folks, the enemy's a liar. Born a lie, he's going to die a lie. Nothing about him is truth. Hallelujah. I thank you for letting me be here. Let's just see where this takes us tonight. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I think we did this last night too. Genesis chapter 1. And I know that we know this. And I know that this is familiar territory for most of us. But humor me just a little bit here. And see if some of my Sunday school doesn't resurface here. Is that all right? Amen. It's good to have Sister Heather here, all the way from the great metropolis city of Mountain Home, Arkansas. She's looking for a husband. Just contact me if you're interested. Works hard, loves God, is going to be a missionary. Her daddy owns 500 acres of deer woods. Anything else, Sister Heather, you want me to tell them? All right. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, doesn't that just run chills up and down you? And God said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness. Now we're a one God church, right? Okay. Let us, plural, make man in our plural image after our plural likeness. And let them, plural, have dominion over the fish of the sea. Everybody shout dominion. I'll save you some time and let you be seated. He said, you're going to have dominion over everything. Verse 27. So God created man in his singular image. And he created he singular, him singular. Plural. He created he, him, male and female. And God blessed them. And God said unto, do I need to keep doing the singular and the plural? Are you with me? And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it and have, shout dominion. Twice now, twice. The creator of the universe has looked at man and the world and said, this is my plan for you. You are supposed to have. And if you don't have dominion, you are not imaged correctly. Now, it's not going to be tough tonight. There's no rebuke coming. But I want to inspire you through the Word of God to rise to a new level of spiritual authority. And once and for all, take dominion of the city of Springfield, your home, your marriage, and to some tonight, your mind. Would you clap your hands and give God wonderful, great praise here tonight? You may be seated in Jesus' name. Galatians chapter 4 introduces us to sonship, true sonship. And he starts with, you were born a servant. You were born a son, but you have been taught and trained like we would do a servant. That right now, because you are not mature, that there is no difference between you and that of a servant. And then he makes this powerful statement that though you be Lord of all, you are Lord of nothing. You are Lord of all, but right now you are Lord of nothing. What makes somebody Lord of all, but yet Lord of nothing? Spiritual immaturity. The spiritual immaturity is found in the further reading of Galatians chapter 4, when Paul addresses that great church and says, I'm going to put you under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And then Dad's going to show up. And he's going to evaluate your class time. He's going to look at your grades. He's going to see how many times you showed up for class. And if you have learned from the tutor, if you have learned from the teacher, then you will be elevated to sonship. Let me just go ahead and inflict somebody. Just because you have been born again of the water and spirit, and just because you have been baptized in Jesus' name, you are not saved. I know that usually goes off just like it just then. I remember from early, as I can remember, the testimony services we used to have, and they would stand and say, thank God I'm saved, and pray I make heaven my home. And we use the term saved, saved, S-A-V-E-D, means past tense, means you're there, you're finished, it's done. None of us are saved yet. Stay with me. I'm going to make it make sense. None of us are saved yet. You have been born into a family. You start just like the natural child starts, not with the ability to eat, not with the ability to stand, not with the ability to dress yourself or drive yourself. You learn that as age and life matures you. I'm afraid we've stopped God's church from growing as they're supposed to grow by putting so much emphasis on a new birth experience, and rightfully so. But there's more to living for God than just talking in tongues. There's more to living for God than just clapping your hands on cue. You, my beloved church, are supposed to have power with God. You are supposed to have dominion in this earth. Demons are supposed to fear you. Principalities are supposed to crumble under you. You. Somewhere we've got to lose this intimidated spirit or mindset. We've got to quit letting the enemy run roughshod over us and grow up and into the knowledge and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Thank God I was born again of water and spirit. But I am more thankful of what I know now than the experience that I had at 6 years of age. I am thankful to know now that when I pray, heaven hears me and demons fear me. That went over like a flock of turtles, so I'll say it again. I am thankful tonight to know that when I pray, heaven hears me and demons fear me. So somehow, somewhere, we've got to get rid of our timidity, and we've got to step into this thing called dominion and this thing called the apostolic lifestyle. Somewhere the shadow of those great men of God falling upon the sick has got to come back to the apostolic church. Somewhere all night prayer meetings have got to come back to the apostolic church. Somewhere miracles and signs and wonders has got to come back to the apostolic church. I'm not mad at anybody here, so please don't take my aggression for anger. But I am frustrated with the body right now because I think we listen too much to our enemy and not to the head. Just because the devil speaks louder doesn't make him right. Thank you, sir. Just because you feel it don't mean you ought to fear it. I feel that spirit, that principality, that power, that ickiness. Who cares? Just because you can feel it don't mean you're supposed to fear it. Lay hands on it. Cast it out. Tear it down. Lift it up. Come on, somebody. There is apostolic power in the apostolic church. There's still deliverance in the apostolic church. There's still miracles in the apostolic church. Hallelujah. Somewhere we've got to have a fresh revelation of just who God really is. Man, we're gonna be here a while tonight. And I'm already hungry, and that's bad. Who am I? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is Christ, the man, God in flesh, looking at his disciples, of whom he's going to leave the keys to the kingdom with. It is one of the greatest debated questions of the New Testament among theologians. What did he really mean? Did it really mean this? I'll tell you exactly what it meant. Jesus wanted to know if they knew who he was. Who am I? Just tell me who I am. And one of them said, Elias. And no, Jeremiah. Come on, fellas. And that good old fisherman spoke up and said, Thou art the Christ. And you're the Son of the living God. My word, you talking about a revelation. Jesus whirled to Peter and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that upon this rock I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell shall not. I don't care how many times you've heard it. I don't care how many times you've heard it preached. It's still a fact. Upon this rock, I'm going to build a church that the gates of hell shall not. Shout it. Shall not prevail against. I'm in that church. Anybody got a set of keys I can borrow for a minute? Last night it was a lighter. Tonight it's keys. We're gaining ground. Car keys. There you go. Throw them, sis. You're good. Thank you. Raised in this from the Boot Hill to Springfield. And this is a lot of my DNA right here. Well, you can get quiet if you want to. It's good DNA. It's true apostolic DNA. I remember casting out. I remember the devils being cast out over on Mill Street. I remember Missouri and Mad on those old wooden pews and watching demons and devils and angels confronting each other. It's all right. So I grew up with this understanding that the mighty God is Jesus and the Prince of Peace is He. Everlasting Father, King eternally, wonderful in wisdom, by whom all things were made. I grew up singing, it's all in Him, it's all in Him. It's all, I didn't think you heard me. It's all in Him, the fullness
the everything, the all in all. We need to go back to one God preaching.
There's power in the name. There's salvation in the name. There's deliverance in the name. The blood is in the name. Come on, congregation. But there's one issue I bring to this pulpit tonight with Matthew 16, and that is simply this. If the power is all in the name, then Jesus would have looked at Peter when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ," and Jesus would have said, "Here's some keys. Whatever you do, I'll enforce." But he didn't do that, did he? Because the power of the apostolic church is tripart, not triune, tripart. Death, burial, resurrection. Repentance, water baptism, spirit infilling. You can't do one and not do the other two and get to heaven. It's a whole gospel. It's a complete remedy. I'm going to prove it to you. So Jesus looked at Simon and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." So now there is discourse between Jesus and Simon. Peter says, "You're Christ." And Christ says, "You are Euelong's boy." That's what that means. So it's as if Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon, the son of Barjona. I know you. I know your daddy. And I know his daddy." So if it's any or all about knowing Jesus, a few years ago, a song come out, "I'm a friend of God." Then when the Lord identified Simon, the son of, he should have got the keys. But it's not one or two. It's tripart. Then Jesus said, "I say also unto you, thou art Peter." Look at me, congregation. It doesn't do you any good to sing "It's all in him," because we already know it. It doesn't do you good to get up here and sing "I'm a friend of God," because you already know it. But the thing that's missing that you don't know is you're Peter. The thing missing from this generation that I preach to is missing among us is the revelation of who we are in Christ. We know God and we know the man Christ. But we're... Watch me. Thou art Peter. And now that I know you and you know me, and more importantly, you know who you are now. Now you're ready. Whatever you do now, because you know me and I know you and you know you, you won't do anything reckless and you won't do anything ridiculous. But I, from this day forward, have limited my power to what you do, not what I do. What you say, not what I say. Quit sitting there waiting on the apostolic church to have revival and stand up and be the revival. Quit waiting on God to fall in this place and open up your belly and let out. You are Simon, and whatever you say. I'm not trying to be mean or disrespectful, but I just don't think that went over as good as it should have. You are God's spigot. Here's one. Y'all may have sung this. "Send it on down." Heavenly Father,
Fall where? Come from where? Where does it come from? You and I have been taught. But Jesus taught his disciples. You want to see a miracle tonight? Open your mouth. For the power of life and death are on the tongue. You want to see a heart restored? Open your mouth and say, let healing flow into you alone's heart. Let the numbers in. Careful. You give us false hope. No, I'm just trying to give you real hope. There's power in the church. There's authority in the church. There's healing. I wish somebody would believe me right now.
Boy, I like you. I promise I won't burn you. Here's what I want you to do. From the end of this monitor, I'm going to show what I want you to do, okay? Do everything I do. I want you to get right here. And then I want you to pace this way. And then I want you to turn. And I want you to pace this way. And then I want you to turn and pace this way. You got me? Okay. Several years ago, one of our great North American cities decided they wanted to open a zoo. And so they get all these animals. And so they contact a continent that raised or had wild lions. And they bought the lion as a cub. And they thought he'll live longer if we buy him young. And so they're building the habitat to be identical to what he had come out of. So somebody went to Africa, looked at the habitat, come back to North America, and they built for the young lion something that looked exactly like what he's born into. But the young lion got to North America before the habitat was done. So the zoo people, all they could think of is put him in a cage and hold him until we can release him to his natural born habitat. And so the young lion, welcome to America. And this is what he did. Story says he would walk 12 feet and go 4 foot and walk 12 foot and go 4 foot. He walked himself. And the day finally came, and the zoo people were so happy that they come in and they caught the young lion. And they released him into his natural habitat. And when they stood back to the awe and the amazement and the spectators, the young lion still walked 12 foot and 4 foot and 12 foot. Because although he was freed physically, he didn't know how to free himself mentally. Is it possible for certain apostolic churches to live under and around and be exposed to certain things that when a day of deliverance really does come, that they don't know how to act like they were born to act? You weren't created to sit there and wait on God to walk into this house. You weren't. I know I'm rubbing some of you the wrong way, and that's why we don't have miracle signs and wonders. But if the church wants miracles, all the church has got to do is somebody clap, somebody shout, somebody run, somebody do something that looks similar to a Book of Acts moment. Somebody shout aloud with a voice of triumph. Somebody clap your hands and give God great praise. I refuse to live outside of what I was made to live. I will not. You weren't made to sit there and wait on God. One of the most unique miracles, you may be seated, that I've ever witnessed came about 3 years ago. They had brought my youngest in, and at one time, he was on almost 70 different pills a day. He was on 11 different pain meds a day. They told us that when we got ready to wean him off of some, that we would have to admit him into a drug rehab facility for 3 to 6 months, because too long, too much. If you tried to withdraw in the home, that more than likely it would cause suicide or death. Some of the pain meds that he was on, we would worry through the night. We'd run in, check pulse and respiratory to make sure he was still breathing. And one of these awkward moments, we found ourselves in the hospital, and he had been about 3 days in a coma and could not be brought out, couldn't come back to the world. And my brother called. There's a lot of phone calls I ignore with him. I mean, you just got to realize. He called and he said, tonight, somewhere between 1 and 3, an angel will manifest itself in the room. It will stand at the edge or at the foot of his bed. He will have wings, and he described the wings. He told us about how tall he was. He gave us a description. And now you can have a whole lot of faith in my brother, but he's my brother. I mean, be real. You know I'm funning. A little while later, that same day, a prophet called and said, I was in prayer this morning and feel like I have a word, and I'm careful about who I let speak into our life about certain circumstances. And so he said, take it for whatever it's worth. He said, but the Lord told me to tell you that tonight, between the hours of 1 and... And so I'm standing there literally in the hospital room listening to this guy, remembering what my brother had just told me. And I'm looking at Colton and thinking, if it happens, it's going to be a real miracle. Because we've not even seen hide nor hair of the little dude in 72 hours. Doctors can't even bring him out right now. So life is life, and we're tired, and we drift off to sleep in the room. And all of a sudden, we hear... I don't know why he called mom first. I'm still offended at that, but we'll settle that later. He said, mom, mom. And mom sets up in that bed about that wide that we were sharing. Mom sets up and dad wakes up and we hear Colton saying, mom, dad, mom, dad. What is it? What is it, Colton? Oh, God. When we woke up, oh, my God, I cannot express to you what was in that room. I didn't see it, but I felt it. Oh, my God. And he said, do you see him? Do you? Now, he wasn't privy to anything. He said, do you see him? And my wife said, who, son? Who are we looking at? Who's here? He said, oh, mom. He said, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever laid eyes on. He said, it's an angel of the Lord. He's about, and I'm preaching to you right now, in the house of God, I'm telling you the truth. And he described verbatim what my brother and the prophet had called and said to me over the phone. He describes the width of his wings and the color of his wings and how tall he was and the glory of the house. And you want me to walk up here on a Saturday night revival service and give you a 30-minute sermon to make you feel good when you're depressed, oppressed, sick, afflicted, tormented? You want me to act like the church is powerless? There are angels in this house tonight. There is glory in this place tonight. There is power in a thought. Come on, apostolic church. God's got... My God, I feel like preaching tonight some of you out of the hell you've been living in. It's not God's will for you to go home tormented. It's not God's will for you to go home sick in body. It's God's will for there to be miracles and signs. And I don't care how many times you've heard it. It's God's will. You know what some of you are doing? You're doing the same thing the young lion did. You're pacing the same paces. You're doing the same thing you've always done. You don't realize something is different now. Stop right here. Stop. Stop. Let me ask you a question. That's what you always do, isn't it? Einstein defined insanity as doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result or different end. We are insane if we think what we've been doing for the last year, 2 years, 10 years, 30 years is going to net us anything different. When's the last time some of you husbands in an environment like this gathered your family and cast off and out? You think it's quiet now. How long has it been since you walked into your house with some oil and slapped that breakfast table and went to those bedrooms and anointed them and that living room couch and anointed it and said, from now on, nothing unclean, nothing ungodly, nothing unrighteous will abide here because I said so. My God, I feel so much Holy Ghost boldness on me right now. When's the last time you just stood up and faced your adversary and said, you have intimidated me, you have embarrassed me, you have robbed from me, you have pushed me, but tonight and henceforth forever, I will not be intimidated, I will not be robbed, you will not steal, you cannot kill, and you cannot destroy, because the name is greater and the blood is more powerful, and in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. Do it. Do it right now. Do it right now. Say it right now. Proclaim it right now. Speak it into existence right now. Right here. You may be seated. Do me a favor. Put up Revelation 22:17. Let's work on this a minute. You can sit down now. Thank you, young lion. 22:17. This is it. End of age, end of time. Everything's over. The rapture is just about to happen. And this is how the book of life ends. And the Spirit and the bride. You know what the greatest conflict in the apostolic church is? Not worldliness, not compromise, not division, not an ugly spirit. The disunity between the body and the head. Well, I promise you it ain't going to get any better. And the Spirit and the bride. We're waiting on the Spirit to do it all. Well, if I sit here long enough, he'll quit preaching. Man, you really don't know me, do you? If I just sit here long enough, this will pass. If I just learn to endure, I've just got to learn to coexist with it. This must be, here it is, this must be the will of God for my life. And so some of you are living with an oppression. Some of you are living under a cloud. Some of you are living under the torments. And you think because you've lived there for a long time, that's your physical address. Are you telling me that's where the Holy Ghost wants you to live? So God creates this wonderful body and lets her be abused. Let me just tell you something. 31 years ago, God gave me her. Pick on her. There are 3 guns in my hotel room right now. I'm telling you the truth. I will shoot you if you hurt her. And if by chance I miss and you get me, I got 4 boys, and the smallest is 6'1". The tallest is 6'4". And they're big old Morgan boys. And if that don't do it, I'll call my cousins. You get my point?
You can mess with my truck. You can mess with my I'm writing a country song right now. You can mess with my dog. You can mess with my horse. You may get in trouble with that one. But if you mess with her, where in the name of God do you think I get that from? Not my earthly father, but I get that kind of jealousy from my heavenly father. For he said, I have espoused you. He's standing up there saying, don't you touch her. Don't. And you're sitting there. I wonder what would happen if somebody would sense what the Holy Ghost wants to happen here tonight. And the bride say, I speak it into existence because the Spirit and the bride have come together. We're one. Somehow we got to
get this thing about who he is right. If your earthly father knoweth how to give good gifts to them that are his. Can I have you for another 10 minutes? The uniqueness of God is unequaled and unmatched. He is above all. Oh my God. He is above all. He is beyond all. One writer says he's the way that never leads astray. The truth that never lies. The life that never dies. The good shepherd that never flees. The ark that never leaks. The champion that never loses. The standard that never changes. The water of life that never stagnates. The teacher that never deceives. The companion that never departs. The true vine that never withers. The rock that never moves. The anchor that never lets go. The conqueror that's never defeated. The bridge that never collapses. The glory that never vanishes. The judge that never misjudges. The joy that never abandons. The counselor that never betrays. He is the promise that never defaults. He's the Savior that never refuses. He's the Holy One. He fulfilled prophecy. He's the amazing one. He astounded philosophers. He's the jealous one. He denounced idols. He's the compassionate one. He loved humanity. He's the faithful one. He submitted totally. He's the righteous one. He glorified God. He's the fearless one. He subdued power. I'm not done yet. He's the omnipotent one. He conquered sin. He's the changeless one. He lived holy. He's the victorious one. He defeated Satan. He's the eternal one. He renewed faith. He's the strong one. He resisted all temptation. He's the omniscient one. He declared truth. He's the blessed one. He satisfied the soul. He's the understanding one. He touched hearts. He's the friendly one. He welcomed prodigals. He's the miraculous one. He performed wonders. He's the gracious one, the powerful one, the glorious one, the perfect one, the crucified one, the supreme one. If I'm the body, he's the head. If I'm the bride, he's the bridegroom. If I'm the building, he's the foundation. If I'm the branch, he's the vine. If I'm the brother, he's the firstborn. If I'm a believer, he's the promise. If I'm the sheep, he's the shepherd. Is anybody hearing me right now? He's the king looking for subjects to rule. He's the warden, the fountain, the banquet, the wealth, the friend, the guide, the teacher, the light, the pardon, the captain, the judge, the strength, the joy, the guest. He's heaven's salvation for earth's damnation. He's heaven's blessing. Blessings for earth's curse. I can't hear you, apostolics. He's heaven's garment for earth's nakedness. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the rose of Sharon that never fades. He's the bright and morning star that never dims. He's the sure foundation that never shakes. He's the faithful friend that never forsakes. He's the high priest that never fails. He's bread from heaven that never molds. He's the eternal fountain that never ceases to flow. He's the well in the wilderness. He's the light in the darkness. He's the refuge in the storm. He's the feast in the famine. He's the oasis in the desert. He's the calm in the midst of violence. He's the diamond in the dust. He's the sun. Now you understand that knowing I have that in me, there ain't no devil in hell or out of hell big enough, bad enough, strong enough to stop the church. I can't hear you, apostolics. You've got to have dominion. Now, you're going to think I'm more like my brother for the next few minutes because I'm going to meander. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, 5 and 6. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee, I got to scream. I forgot I'm preaching apostolics. Before I formed thee, everything I just preached is the mighty God. But he cannot move if you don't take the key. Before I formed thee, I knew thee. Did you not hear me? Before mama met daddy and the twinkle in daddy's eye became a reality, Jesus said, I knew you. He didn't say I knew of you. He didn't say I heard about you. He said, I knew you. What? So before I ever became a reality, you already knew me. Yes, you know what that word new means? Intimately, with knowledge. Touched, felt, moved with, moved around. Are you hearing me? He knew me. So for you to let the devil tell you you're a mistake or an accident or God doesn't have a design for your life, before I formed thee, I knew thee. Before you ever came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Devil comes around saying, you worthless, you ain't nothing. He ain't got time for you. Give up. I have been sanctified. When mama felt the first pains, sanctification was already working. I done lost some of you. And I ordained thee a... Is there any gender mentioned there? So let me get this right. He's talking to you. I ordained you a... You know why we don't see more? Because we don't say more. And this isn't trick. This isn't mind over matter. It's not myth. It's fact. Before I formed thee, I knew thee. Before you came from your mother's womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. So let me get this right. Wherever you're from and wherever you go, you are a prophet. Sent, sanctified of the Holy Ghost. Okay. Next verse. Then said I, no. Come on, God, I can't speak. I'm a child. He wasn't a child. He was immature. He was like most of God's church today, just didn't want to step up. Next verse. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go unto all the nations. You're going to go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt. We're going to get this. Next verse. Be not afraid of their. For I. You remember all those names and titles? For I am with thee. Boy, I'm trying not to just like blow up. For I am with thee. For who I? Who's I? Who? Are you kidding me? You believe that? Now, I want you to think about what you said. Not just you, but everybody. Think about that. You really believe the I is God. Answer it. Do you believe the eye is God? What are you afraid of then? I remember one time, I think the school was Bissett, somewhere over behind where pastors used to live, Brother Fletcher used to live. I had this unique ability to pick fights. All the time. Because I just believed that Mark could whoop anybody. I'm going to tell you the truth. Next time he's here, ask him. And so I'd go to school. I don't want anybody my age. I could whoop them. I wanted the upper grade guys. I'd smart off. I'd get in trouble. And I'd run. I'd run as fast as I could run to the house. And then I'd lie. And I'd tell Mark, these guys are picking on me. And Mark would come out and put a whooping. And I'd just stand there thinking, this has got to be the coolest thing since sliced bread. I pick the fight on a superior, a larger individual. I lie. Mark defends me. Until one day, Mark got wise. And the little fellas that followed me home, Mark didn't defend me. And they put a whooping on me. I can take you to the front yard to this day. And I looked over there and looked at Mark, and he was just going, wait. And he let them whoop me. And since then, I'm a little more careful on picking fights. Notice I said a little more careful. A little more careful picking fights because I'm not convinced Mark's with me. The only way I can wrap my Missouri mind around the fact of how we act is we ain't convinced God is with us. So we just dress funny, shout funny, give money for nothing, dress crazy, sing about blood and guts and gore, love on each other, call each other brother and sister, but we're not convinced God is with us. Why do we do any of that if we're not convinced God is with us? I'm just asking a few questions here. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver. So it doesn't matter where you go, God's with you. You know what he's going to do? He's going to deliver you. So the bigger the devil. Maybe I'm not reading that right. Be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I'm going to cover you. I got you, boo. I got you. Next verse. Here's why I'm with you. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words. Dear God, have mercy. Next verse. See, I have set thee this day over and over to and to and what are we doing having church like we're having church?
Thank you for that glorious applause. I'm sure you moved the needle. You don't believe it?
You don't believe it? Just like 99.9% of all of God's kids don't believe it. Because if we really believe, we had the power to pull down, to root up, to tear down, to build up, to speak the prophetic word. In this place right now, somebody would have already got up, walked across the aisle, and said, I forgive you. And you would have taken that noose around their neck that's trying to kill them, and you would have loosed them from that bond of death. But you don't believe that. You don't believe that you have the power to stop this thing tonight. You can get quiet. I'm just still going to preach. I get paid the same.
We have convinced ourselves that we're nothing more but punching bags. We have no authority. We have no rights. And whatever happens, happens. I'm preaching to you on this Saturday night. I could care less what's happened the last month, 6 months, 2 years, or 3 years. I'm preaching to the kingdom of God tonight. And I'm telling God's church, you better wake up. You better stand up. You better speak up. You better take control. You better... Lord began to deal with me several years ago, and I had to write a paper. So I wrote on, in class, I wrote on God's view of marriage. Matter of fact, I wrote it right here in Springfield. I wrote God's view of marriage, and professors liked it. And so I sent it out and began to work more on it. And somebody said, you ought to make that a book. And I said, man, that would be great. If I knew how to write a book. And so I began to dig deeper into the relationship between God and man. It can only be understood between husbands and wives. I say that in the context of this sermon tonight. To truly understand the relationship of God and the church, you have to understand marriage. Husbands, love your wives. Okay. Your definition of love may be different than my definition. Matter of fact, there's agape, filio, and eros. So there's three different kinds of love. So which love do you want me to love her with? See how controversial it gets real quick? So here's where he removes everything. He says, as Christ loves the church and gave himself. Man, that, I figured somebody jump up and throw a $100 bill up here or something. So, Christ and the church is how I love Sandra. So to truly understand how to love her, I must spend more time learning how to love him. And the only way I can know him is to allow him access into me, to show me. Stay with me. So in my text, I read Genesis 1, and I remember a few Bible studies where folks would take me to Genesis 1, 27, 28, and I just get nervous because you get to deal with that plurality of us, and you're like, well, it's the King's English. It's the plural of Elohim. And you're just saying things that you heard people say. You don't really know the plurality of us. But in this plurality of us, some have built a triune Godhead. Help me right now, Holy Ghost. Please help me, God. Give me wisdom. So they've taken the plurality of us and built a triune Godhead. And if you don't know him, you don't have power with him. You can't know a fictitious co-equal, a fictitious co-eternal. You have to know the omnipotent, omnipresent. You have to know the author and the finisher. You have to know the creator. You've got to know the what? Just let me know you're still awake. That's all I need. So the power comes in the knowledge. There's this, I'm going to get in trouble, but this is just what I had to write. And this is just what I see. This new thing about our wives and our young people keeping hyphening their names. Blah, 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 blah. And so it started happening a few years ago. I looked at my wife and I said, are you really going to get on Facebook and tell people that you're Sandra Rush Morgan? And she said, no. I said, great answer. Because you are no longer Sandra Rush Morgan. You are Sandra Morgan. Because if you hang on to the old man,
You think I'm crazy, don't you? The enemy is wise. The power is not in her daddy's name with her. The bank account is as good as it's going to get, and all that's in there is irrelevant. But it's hers because her last name is mine. She has access to everything I have because her name is the same. Stay with me. Stay with me. So when she says, I am Sister Morgan, what she's really saying is, I am the wife. I am the rib. I am the equal of the man that you see called Jeff. Stay with me. She walks into my boys and she says, pick up your boots. They're bigger than her. They're stronger than her. But when mama speaks, fear. Because they know when daddy walks in the door, all she had to do is say, Devin didn't listen. And I don't have to be there to bust his hide or make it worthwhile. All that had to happen is for her to say, they disobeyed. I warned them. I look at them and said, meet you in the bedroom. Now, call it child abuse if you want to. But I didn't go in there and talk with them. Never in 30 years of being a dad used my hand. Never kicked them in the behind. I had a paddle for that. I had a tool. Do it your way if you want to. But all I had to do is reach up above that fridge and pull that homemade paddle down. And when daddy walked in, mama was vindicated. You want to get run over? Let division start between you and him. Okay. So I'm writing all this, trying to figure all this stuff out. And he takes me to this and he says, it has always been my will for my church to have dominion. He said, I created the human race to have dominion over all. And I said, so if we're supposed to have dominion over all, why are we so limited? Why are we so anemic? He said, it's not that the power's not there. It's that the church is so quiet and they have reversed divine order. Therefore, I cannot empower the church because the church won't speak up. Don't forget, I'm from the boot heel. You've got to explain this to me. What are you talking about? And he took me to 128. Let us make man in our image. In the image of God created he them, both male and female. So I present to you tonight that when God looked at dominion in the possession of a man, he made a man in his image. Wow. Sounds like primary Sunday school class, doesn't it? But think about that. When God made man, man was imaged like God. See, that just doesn't, we've lost what that ought to mean to us. You know what he talked about when he got to the New Testament? He said they tried to trick him and catch him in a lie. He said, anybody got a coin? They flipped him a quarter. He said, whose image is on that quarter? And they said, well, it's Caesar's. He said, do me a favor, give to Caesar what's his. Give to me what's mine. In other words, whatever image is on the object belongs to me. You did hear me. So if I am in the image of God, every time the devil sees me, I got chill bumps that just had revival and babies and had more chill bumps. And some of you are going, man, I wish he'd hurry. When the devil sees me, he trembles. Because he believes there is only one image. And when he sees me, he starts. Because the devils believe in one God and they. Oh God. Okay. It's 8:32 if you need to take meds. The plurality of us, let us make man in our image. And so I looked at that and said, okay, God, so if there's one God, Father of all, in all, through all, show us the Father. It will suffice us. Philip, how long? How long do I have to walk and talk and teach and preach to you and have supper with you for you not to know if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? For there's none other but me. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was. For in Him was the light, and the light was the light of the world. And the light shined into the darkness. Darkness comprehended not, but as many as received. Are you still with me? One German translation says of John 1:1-3, in the beginning was a thought, and or a thinker, and the thinker had a thought. And when the thinker thought, he spoke the thought, and the thought become a thing. That's John 1:1. When you go back to Jesus, he just said, I'm going to make man, and I'm going to draw him to be just like me. I'm headed somewhere, if you'll help me go. Just like me, not almost like me, just like me, not almost, just. Oh my God, not close, but just. Do you believe this? I mean, we're in the image of God. But we're plural. So I got to look at it. And okay, so you have a singular God creating a singular man, but uses a plural vernacular. Let us. Who's us? Create him. Who's him that's them? So who's the them that's him? Somebody appreciates my sense of humor. I'm a little lost here figuring out who's him and them and there. And he said, just keep looking. I made him, them, me. So you made him, them, like you. So you're a plurality, yes, but not a triune. But I am the Father. I am the Son. I am the Alpha, but that's not what I want to talk about. I am. So I'm backing up. Okay, so all I'm looking for, God, is a good grade. This is way beyond my pay scale. And he said, I need to show you this because the church has got to get it. Let us. Okay. Let whoever else is. Okay, us did it. So I got to looking, and the Missouri come out in me. I said, okay, if he made them, how many were standing when they were done? Somebody got the right answer. Adam. How many Adams were there? Oh, so just one. No trick in. Right. Just one. So whatever plural there was not a physical plural. Because you only have one physical man standing there imaged as God. One God, one Adam. Yay. I got it. I'm smart. Give me my degree. And he said, you're not done. Great. My book was going to be all of 3 pages. And then he said, there was one Adam, but I called him them. Why would I look at one and call him them? And I didn't just call him them. I said he was male and female. Boy, it's so quiet in here. I mean, you could hear the church rats scurrying right now. So now, you got some weird God creating an image that is man and woman. But they're one. No, they didn't have sexual organs, but they were masculine and feminine in one. Some of you are like, you still not got me. You still not got me. You're weird. And I'm trying to follow you, dude, but you're weird. California got you. Marty, am I all right? Yeah, you like, don't get me in this. Honey, call Mark. Male and female, you have one image standing there. When I looked at this one image, Greg, I see male and female. But I don't see two because God's not two, but God is plural. And it's not Elohim. It's not just a King's English we're talking about. So he says, watch this. And so if you read Genesis chapter 1, he creates man in his image. He creates he, them, both male and female. But there's only one living human. I'm going to need you, sis. You got to bail me out. 2:15. Everybody say, help us, Lord. We're going to shout here in a minute, maybe. And the Lord God took. Who? And put him in the garden of Eden to and. Now, I'm too tired to preach anymore, but boy, could I forevermore preach on weak, sissy, five Pentecostal men right now. Boy, I'm struggling right now. My flesh and spirit are at war right now. Because all I got to do is go into our prayer room at Hope Center, and I got women travailing and women interceding and women walking the floor, and I got men going. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. He said, men, your job is to dress it and keep it. We do marriage seminars, and one of the things, this is one of the lessons I bring out, I call it my garden. And we do a jungle theme, and I act like Tarzan. And I just beat my chest like Tarzan. Because I want people to know, devil, this is my garden. Devil, I just want you to know I own this. I am Tarzan of this jungle. Yeah, you're done. I'm not, so we'll hurry. I just want the enemy to know I'm not afraid of you. I own the jungle because God took me and put me here. I am not here by accident. I am not here by mistake. I am here by divine design. I am a man sent of. Verse 16. But of the tree, and God commanded the man, boy, you almost tricked me there, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Eat anything you want to, but don't eat that tree. Okay. Of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. In the day that you eat, you're going to die. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the man. Verse 19. Come on, this is the good. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air. And? What do you do? To who? So, hang on. God created it all, but didn't name it yet. Because he needed to see if the man he created was God enough to be godlike. Watch me. He said, I'm going to bring all these animals unto Adam to see what he would. And so Adam's standing there. He says, that thing's got four legs, got some horns, ears move, got a white tail. Deer. Buck deer. And God goes, yes. Adam named, called every animal by name. When did Adam go to school? Stay with me. Adam. 5 minutes, I'm done. Adam, you look like me. You talk like me. You walk like me. You're a plurality like me. But I need to see, Adam, if you can think like me. Because you are the typology of the church. And it's not enough for you just to have my DNA and my genetics and my name. I need to see if you can think like me. Is this too much? And anything Adam called them, that was the name thereof. So Adam named the universe. God didn't. So in the mind of God, God already knew that the bass was going to have a large mouth. And he was already calling a large mouth bass, but it hadn't been named yet. So he's standing there watching Adam look at the large mouth bass. And Adam said, I think that's a large mouth bass. And God said, got that one right too. And that one. And every creature come to Adam. Adam called them their name. And God backs up and says, that is good. So you have a man designed by God, built by God in the likeness of God, put somewhere by God to dress and keep by God ordained, that now can think like God. Next verse. Adam gave names to all the cattle, fowl of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam, Adam got to looking around saying, well, there's none that look like me. Remember 26 where it says he made them male and female? Remember how they run you the plurality of Godhead? Watch this. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and the beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a to fall upon Adam. Go to sleep. Boom, you're out. And he slept. And God took one of and then closed him up. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from, made he a and brought her unto, where did the woman come from? So that's why he said he made he, them, male and female. He made Adam masculine and feminine. And then when he got to looking at the typology and the future of the church, he said it's not always going to look like this. So this is the typology of what's coming. But I need to know, Adam, can you function like me? Go to sleep. Out of him came the femininity. We're living in an age now where we're trying to blur the lines between feminine and masculinity, even in the church. Please don't get quiet on me. There's too much feminine acting masculine and too much masculine acting feminine, and that's not God's divine order. There you are. You got to keep the masculine and the feminine. You got to keep God's divine order if the church is going to have dominion. And here we go. Go to sleep. Okay, I'm asleep. I need to take something from you. And from the man took he, the woman. He did not recreate, for she was present in him. That's why he said, let us make man in our image. And in the image of God created he, singular, them, plural, both male and female. But when the plural was finished, it was a singular man. Because in the singular man was the bride. And so the first Adam is struggling now with his identity. The first Adam doesn't understand the power that he has. Come on, please help me. Don't bail on me yet. If I had more time, I'd take my wife and bring her up here. And I'd have my buddy here help me play the devil. And I would show you how the woman talked to Lucifer. The feminine talked to Lucifer. And the Bible says she ate of the fruit. That was bad. Let me show you something worse. She turned and gave likewise to him. So if you weren't ready to go home, I'd bring my wife up here and I would stand behind my wife and let her talk to the devil. And I would let the femininity wreck the garden by keeping my masculine mouth shut, by reversing God's natural law of order. Did God say? Yes. Did he really? I don't know. I wasn't there. Boy, that's good. Hey, honey, have you tasted this? Her and the devil. Her and her husband. It could have all been avoided. It will all be avoided if Adam just trades places with his wife. Because he was given dominion over. The only way she had it was through submission of her headship. And her headship was behind her, not in front of her. And she was entertaining and having a conversation that should have never happened. And all that Adam could have done is just walked up there and said, "Excuse me, Lucy, you need to leave." No, sir. Brother McCoy, he didn't have to fight him. He didn't have to wrestle him. He didn't have to set on him. He didn't have to call for the elders of the church. He just had to man up. Just stand up. Just open up your mouth. Just get right back to where God created you. Just step right back in divine order. Just step right back into divine dominion. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, open your mouth and say, "Devil, I don't know who you think you're tricking. I don't know who you think you're warring against, but I am a child of God. I am joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And I take," come on, help me right now for 30 seconds. "I take dominion over all." First time I preached this, you can remain standing, I'm done. It was in Jackson, Mississippi. And there was a couple about where you're sitting, sis, white and polka dot shirt. And a moment just like this, the Holy Ghost spoke, and I said, "Ma'am, would you mind standing? Is that your husband?" She said, "Yeah, he's a nice looking bald headed guy." And they stood, and I said, "Where there has been death, there's going to be life." Man, you'd have thought I said you just won $1 million jackpot. It just went crazy. I'm thinking, what in the world just happened? So I kind of calmed down. I said, "There's been death. I see life. Don't doubt it." So had some good church. We dismissed. And the minute I closed, the pastor was waiting on me behind the door leading off to his office. And he whirled around him. He said, "You better hope that was God." He said, "Because if it wasn't, you're coming back and you're going to take care of this." I went, "Chris," to him, "if I said it, God will do it." "All right, you just better hope so." I said, "There's no hope." He said, "You just don't understand. They've had 7 miscarriages. They're about to backslide. They want a baby. They can't have one." I said, "Chris, where there was death," I went right back out. And my sermon that night was on the morrow. And I went right back out and grabbed the mic. Church still lingering a little bit. I said, "You, listen to me. 9 months from tomorrow, this is Sunday. 9 months from tomorrow, Monday, you will hold the baby.
careful. You give folk false hope. What garden do you live in? I don't think you heard. What garden do you live in? There's no false hope in Eden. God didn't look at Adam and say, if you work hard, and if you're smarter than the devil, and you outfox him, outlast him, I'll give you power. He just looked at Adam and said, you are me. Act like it. Now, let me just sum it up. Anytime I preach this, there's always those folk that say, I don't know if I can believe all that. And then they go the next step and say, he said we were gods. So let me clarify. God of the old, Jesus of the new. Jesus, Colossians 2, in you. Joint heir with him. He thought it not robbery to be equal to God. The only time you think this is bad is when you're not convinced of your birthright. Because if you really knew who you really was, there ain't a devil in Springfield, around Springfield, that can spell Springfield. Big enough, strong enough to mess with this church called the kingdom. Greg, will you and Tammy come help me? Make sure I got that right. Tammy, you two come up here. Just, if you'll just look at the church, and then you get behind her. I'm going to be the devil. A lot of people think that. So we're having a conversation. This dude's just, he's in La La Land. I mean, he's just like, get it together, Greg. And so this is happening, and I say, did God really say? And she said, I, because God spoke to him while they were them. And so we're having this crazy conversation, and the joker's just, at what point does he not say, hey, she's me. Still a little sore. And all he had to do. Because the one thing the adversary recognizes, spiritual alignment. They wouldn't even bring railing accusation against the fallen angel. Because he was once in power. And they said, I ain't messing with that. Because that's God. All Adam would have had to do, speak up. He wouldn't have had to punch the devil, fight the devil, kick the devil. He just sort of said, hey, devil, if you don't mind, she's mine. And I don't want you anywhere in my garden. This is a pretty cool place, so you're going to have to leave. And the devil said, yes, sir. I'm so sorry. Because I recognize your image. I was lost for a moment. Okay. So the second Adam shows up to fix what the first Adam messed up. And the second Adam shows up like the first Adam showed up. And the same devil that tricked the first Adam shows up to the second Adam. And he takes him up to an exceeding high place. And the second Adam, the first temptation, said, "It is written." And the devil left for a while, but come back after a season. And the second time he said, "It is." And the devil left, but it came back after a season. But the third temptation, the gospel that matters most records it this way. The others are copies. The gospel that matters most and was written first renders it this way. The third temptation. And Jesus said. First two times the devil leaves and comes back when Jesus says it is written. When he just copies what he's heard. But when the second Adam fixes what the first Adam wouldn't do, he conquers. And then they take the second Adam and they put him on a cross. And they think he's dead. And instead of breaking a bone like they normally do, some idiot, "Let's just stab him." Could have stabbed him there. Could have stabbed him there. Could have broke a leg. But instead, they fulfilled perfect typology by opening up the side and pulling out blood and water, which is the biblical requirements to be the bride. And the same place the first Adam got his bride, the second Adam got his bride, fulfilling all typology, all type and shadow, and the fulfillment of things to come. And Jesus rose and says, "Now all power." The first dude created by me in my image dropped the ball. I didn't. Devil, get thee behind me. I know it's been long. It's been like a marathon. But if the apostolic church doesn't wake up, if you don't wake up, you're going to lose your garden. You're going to lose your Eve. You will work by the sweat of your brow. You will have pain in everything you produce. But if you can just learn to open your mouth. I get these all-night prayer meetings, and I get this intercession. I get it. We need it. But where is the authority of the church? That's what I'm after. Where is men of God that take their wives by the hand and stomp their foot and slap their hands and scream the top of their voice and shake their fist and say, "From today on, devil, you better get ready to reckon with me." I'm not talking figuratively. I'm talking really. Where is the apostolic families that say, "My garden, my dominion, I'm in his image. He backs up everything that I say. Devil, I've had about enough of you is all I..." Anybody tired? Anybody but me tired of this thing that we're calling church? I'm sick of it. I'm serious. I told God the other day. I said, if this doesn't change, if this is all there is, I'd rather go sell a horse. Well, I would. Peter went fishing. Okay, I'll go fishing. I'd rather do anything than keep preaching to apostolic people that look at me like I've lost my mind when I say we're supposed to have dominion.
Not you. But you feel like you're pulling a freight train up a mountain with your teeth and a chain. It's not supposed to be this way. Is anybody having trouble? Anybody having, this will be the third time I've mentioned this, but this dark, destructive cloud, this oppression, this thing hovering you. Is there anybody man enough, woman enough to admit it's me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Look at me. It is not God's will for you to go home like you come. No. No. Matter of fact, look up here at me. Hold, with all due respect, hold your pulpit accountable. If you come in the south gate, make sure this pulpit gets you out the north gate. Because according to the law of God, you can't leave like you come. I feel the Holy Ghost on me right now. We got to have a move of God. We got to have it now. Chains have got to be broken right now. Not tomorrow morning, not service. Tonight, Saturday night, in your life, in your world. This thing's got to go now. Don't wait on me to pull a rabbit out of a hat. Throw your hands up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take dominion now.